Hello and welcome back to The Last Action Critics with your hosts Nora Kramer, Ian Brown, and Will Starr. We are in season 4. We are on episode 13, Godzilla, Collab, Kong, A New Empire.
The collab we've all been waiting
for.
Again.
Yes. We have learned that the X does not mean times Kong. It means a collaboration. This is from the director himself. So that's why I said it like that.
Not Godzilla X Kong.
X Kong. Yeah. He's an X Kong.
He's reformed.
He's been out of the pen for about 10 years now. X Konging.
He did say that he shorthanded GXK. So like it's confusing. Like that was another thing in the he would call it. The X was silent, but not when he would talk about it or something.
Okay, so he'd be like, oh, this is GXK?
Yeah.
But
GXK, A-N-E. Yeah. A New Empire, GXK, A-N-E.
Loved it.
Yeah.
GX Kane, really.
Let's jump into first thoughts there, homeboy.
Loved it. Stupid. So stupid. This is a dumb fucking movie, but it and all involved knew the assignment. I'm glad I saw this in theaters. If I'd have seen it at home, it probably would not have been as enjoyable. I needed the massiveness of it. And we made a comment that Roland Emmerich, they just stole all of his moves. If Roland had directed this, imagine the capitals we would have seen destroyed.
I'm just saying Roland did do a Godzilla movie.
He did. But he could have done this.
Granted, it was in 98.
And so it was like just in New York, too.
Yeah, and he didn't have like the budget or the or the ability to do what they did in this.
No. But imagine if they were like, Roland, you get Kong, you get Godzilla, you get the whole world.
Yeah. And if you want the moon to fall during this one, we can do it.
we have
the technology. So, there's some anti-grav for you.
Yeah, there you go. There
you go.
Did
some of that.
So, I just think that I chuckled. I had a good time. It was fun.
You were chuckling a lot.
I'm a chuckler.
My first thoughts. I've already forgotten this movie. I think I had fun. But I don't really remember anything that really happened in it.
You didn't fall asleep.
I didn't fall asleep. I almost did, and then I didn't. So, hooray for me.
Sounds like a win for the movie.
Yeah, I don't know. This movie's silly. There's action. I laughed. There's some decent music. It was a good time.
Yeah, I had a good time. I don't like this movie, though. Those are my first thoughts. I don't want to subscribe to the podcast that says they like this movie. And therefore, I don't want to say I like this movie. But begrudgingly, I did have a good time.
And I'm not saying it's a good movie.
It's a bad movie.
It's a bad movie, for
it's
sure.
It's a bad movie.
If you have
taste,
a 13-year-old like kid or nephew or niece, take them. They'll have a blast, and you'll have a blast with them. This movie is made for a 13-year-old.
I feel like the 13-year-old sitting next to Will was having a good time, chatting over there. Weren't they loud?
No. No, and he was like 10, max. Whatever. Maybe 8
He's small
eight
for
to
his
10.
Age.
I like that you made that judgment on him already. You know, he was just small for his age, Will. I saw him over the dark theater, hugging his mom the whole time, like a little bitch. That's no 13-year-old hugs a mom like that during a monster movie. That's how I know his age. But yeah, first thoughts are I did have a good time. I chuckled at the theater that I went to by myself. I don't know if you guys chuckled at the theaters you went to by yourselves.
I was also by myself, and I was chuckling. It would have been nice to chuckle with friends.
Yeah,
but
would have been
being
great
alone,
to be a chuckly friend chuckles.
You know, Ian, when you watched it at home, did you chuckle and miss your friends?
Yeah, how did you see this movie, Ian?
I just saw.
What time was that?
We don't discuss what I saw or where. Just my thoughts on it.
Okay, great. Because this podcast is predicated on you having seen it. So
I have seen the film.
Okay, great. By yourself, though, right?
Shouldn't by myself. Hey, what's
at a time that was totally.
What's awkward. Everybody been watching? Let's.
I feel like I heard somebody coughing like that in the theater.
Shut the fuck up.
The guy I was sitting next to was a little chuckle fest, that's for sure. He had himself a good ass time. Right around 3:30 was when he started really chuckling. It was anyway. Looked like a beer sales rep to me. The guy looked like a real beer sales rep. You know the type. Beard.
Yeah, cool.
Graphic tee. You
super
know what I mean?
Cool.
We can cut all this.
I feel like you should leave some of it.
Let's talk about what we've been watching. Not like theaters with our friends.
Like to start?
What a smooth transition. I'll start. I am still watching Walking Dead. I'm getting into it. I mean, I finally got into Alexandria. All right.
Oof.
Some of those seasons leading up to this, I do not remember. But also, it's time for trash time.
A little trash talk.
Vanderpump.
Oh, this trash time. Okay.
Come on, dude.
I thought maybe we were going
to
trash the show.
You're supposed to be my counterpart.
I know. I had a realization, though. I was talking to Jillian about this with Vanderpump. Mm. During each pregnancy, we watched a different reality show.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of like fade a little bit because you lose time. Like you don't have the time to watch them. I still want to watch Vanderpump, but I'm way behind. You know, now Vanderpump Villa's coming out, or Vanderpump Villa.
There's also The Valley.
And The Valley one, right? They got divorced, though, didn't they?
They're getting divorced.
That's probably on the air.
Anyways, last night was my Vanderpump Tuesday night.
Nice.
I just think that post-Scandoval, all of these people that are in, these trash people that are in the show, they like filmed this season 3 months after all of that news broke.
Mm.
And they're all turning on the girl now for not having moved on 3 months later. And she's showing like some really intense feminine rage that is awesome.
Ooh.
But everybody else in the cast is like buckled and is like, no, you have to hang out with your ex who cheated on you in your bed while you were at your grandma's funeral. You still like need to be friends with
him. Ariana was cheated on?
Right? Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But like her rage is coming through and it's good. I like it.
Will you get on this?
No.
Oh. And then I did watch The Valley after that, which is the spinoff of Chris and Doty and Jax about a bunch of boring ass people that have money and live in the Valley, and it's not good. They're just fucking crazy. And then I watched What Happens Live because Jax's future ex-wife was on there with the girl from Bridgerton.
Was she talking some shit?
Yeah, she openly was talking about their divorce and things like that, or their upcoming divorce and whatnot. But it's trash.
Trash.
I just don't understand. I feel like the producers of Vanderpump are really trying to make us hate Ariana and Katie, which are like the two that got divorced from like the really shitty man children. And they're like trying to like spin them as like mega cunts. And I think they're great. Rage on, Ariana.
Rage on.
Rage on, for sure. Yeah. What have you been watching, buddy?
Me?
What have you been watching, buddy?
I have finished Halo Season 2. Hmm. Enjoyed it. Finished Constellation. Solid cliffhanger. So I'm excited for Season 2. Get on it.
I'm going to once I finish Walking Dead.
There you go. Yeah, I like that.
I can't deviate.
No, that's okay. I've been watching Bad Batch. It's been fun. And that's about it.
I've been watching, still in Star Wars timeline order, got through season 1 and 2 of The Mandalorian, and then you realize, oh, I gotta do Book of Boba Fett just to, you know, get through it. You also realize, watching Mandalorian, that, Luke is a bigot. Sand people seem like really decent humans, and Luke throughout the whole thing is like, oh, sand people, they're the worst. Like little bigot town.
I feel like that is the only redeeming thing about Book of Boba Fett are the couple episode arc where he's like with
the Sand Folk,
the Tusken Raider, yeah, like learning their like culture and their way of life. Like I thought that was actually interesting when we watched.
Yeah. It was a cool world build for sure.
And then we got into the Hot Rod and Teenagers.
With the 1,000 mirrors on the bike they don't fucking need. I've slowed on Book of Boba due to that.
Okay. Is it only like 6 episodes?
It's 7.
Okay.
But still.
Still a slog.
Still a slog.
Hour-long episodes?
Yeah. Well, some are 45, some are an hour, some are 30. Around, yeah. Disney doesn't like, I don't know why they don't just make.
Because they can.
Yeah, because they can. And then been watching Outer Banks, got into that. Doing pretty good. I'm in season 3, which is the last season, so we're getting there. This TV show
canceled or went off on its own accord?
It probably canceled. This TV show is like jumped the shark in season 1 and continues to jump sharks.
Luckily, it's a show throughout. About the ocean. So.
It's like dad's dead, dad's not dead, dad could be dead. Whoa. We killed dad. We didn't kill dad. What?
Yeah, there's a lot of twisty.
A lot of that kind of stuff.
Oh my god! Just right now, my heart it's beating.
You're just not sure that you can trust anything in this TV show.
Sounds
to be
like
true.
It. Lefts and rights, man. You know I think I'm gonna have to watch.
There's gonna be another season.
Oh, there you go. Lucky.
There's going to be another. They're gonna 4 is coming.
I guess.
So you're saying dad could be a dead?
I don't want to spoil
a live dead.
I know how you're gonna watch this. It's actually a fun show.
I'm just waiting for you to get to my favorite episode, which is the near the end of this season with JJ. Anyways,
fucking JJ.
JJ. JJ's kind of a moron.
Mm. But lovable.
Like an enthusiastic moron.
Okay.
Which you can
got a
enjoy.
Heart of gold. And a sparkle in his eyes.
He does have a sparkle in his eyes. I'll give him that.
He's a real idiot.
He's a beautiful little blonde boy.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's, you know, he's got a little bit of a love triangle going on.
Oh, triangle.
But we found a new love for Pope, so I'm feeling good about that.
Thank God.
And
Poe or Pope?
Pope.
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 Like the papal guy, yeah. The Pope.
You got it. You really cleared that up for us. Thank you for that.
Not like Poe Dameron.
Yeah, Dameron.
Not like
his name.
Oh, Dameron.
Isn't that the man's
Dameron.
Name?
Dameron.
Not saying it wrong.
That fighter pilot, Poe Dameron.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, we've all damned Iran, buddy. That's all I've been watching. All
right.
I went a little too late last night with it. I also watched all of the Godzillas. And the
Like 30 of them?
No, all the ones of this
specific
iteration.
Yeah. Okay.
So I got through all of that too.
So
I also watched
the
Roland Emmerich one.
Emmerich Roland
the
Emmerich.
1998 one.
Yeah, classic.
It's one of those movies you forget about completely.
I've already
forgotten
about it.
Except for the banging soundtrack with your boy Diddy.
Yeah. Cashmere. That Cashmere Diddy collab.
Hey,
that was
introduced
the first,
me
that
to
was
that
the
band
first
Led Zeppelin.
Godzilla,
you know?
X, you know what I mean?
That was.
Introduced you to Led Zeppelin, how dare you?
Should we talk about this movie?
Yeah, okay. We should get into this. Godzilla, X-Kong, A New Empire.
Hottest collab out there.
Let's get that letterbox going.
Godzilla, X-Kong, The New Empire.
Do it in a walk-in. Godzilla,
Godzilla,
X-Kong,
X-Kong,
A New Empire.
New Empire. Rise together or fall alone. Okay. Following their explosive showdown, oof, Godzilla and Kong must reunite against a colossal, undiscovered threat hidden within our world, challenging their very existence and our own. Rated PG-13, directed 115 minutes, directed by Adam Wingard, starring Rebecca Hall, Kaylee Hoddle, Brian Tyree Henry, Dan Stevens, Alex Ferns, Fala Chen, Rachel House, Cassie Riley, and many other talented people. You ready for 30 on the board?
I'm going to tell them how it works.
Oh, you okay.
And then we'll do 30 on the
what?
Board.
What?
I know.
Wow.
I know.
I don't like change.
Is this too big for us?
I'm okay. I'm ready.
Do you want to do 30 on the board instead?
I'm ready to ride this train, but if Nora is uncomfortable.
Let's do 30 then.
No.
30 on the board. Here
no,
we go.
Switch it up. Switch it up. Tell us how it works.
See, now it's changed that she controls, and she just needed a little control.
Let's
so let's
control.
Hear how it works.
Got it. If you haven't been with us before, this is how it works. We do 1 through 5. 1 is the worst. 5 is absolutely the best. We have 5 categories. That's story, acting, directing.
Action.
And?
Good.
There it is.
Good.
Nice. That was a little collab for us.
That was Will X Ian X Nora.
That's it. That's all we do. Gut. Here we go.
I hope you guys are having as much fun as we are.
Yeah.
Hope this isn't a real Ocean's 12
I was
situation.
Up late last night.
Yeah.
But my own accord.
Yeah. Yeah, I was in an accord.
No, you weren't.
Honda Accord.
You're in a Camry. You drive a Toyota Camry. I do.
Maybe I was in an Accord. You don't know that.
I do. You get. You don't have.
And to... begin.
This movie is about Godzilla and Kong coming together to find the subterranean little oranga monkey and Shimu ice blaster and take them down. And then they realize, oh, nah, we got to actually free Shimu the ice blaster and then just take out King Scar. And, you know, it's not going to be so bad because like we're going to work together. And then Kong's going to find little baby Kong and have a family. And everyone else is going to have family, too.
Time. And
the little girl loves her mom. Adopted or not. Nice.
Just really jumped into that one.
You know what? I just wanted to end that conversation as quick as possible.
Yeah.
And we did.
You're welcome. We did it. Yeah. You're welcome. All right. Let's jump into story.
Tell him how... Oh! I'm so thrown off! No, not funny. Not it. When is it funny ever? I want to apologize to all of our listeners for me.
Don't ever apologize for yourself.
We think you're wonderful.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We will be asking for your podcast card later, though. Just take that back. You're going to have to earn it back, okay?
Fair enough.
Let's jump into story.
Okay.
I'll go first.
Please.
This story is just a hot garbled mess of answers not being answered, questions not being answered, people not knowing what's happening, giving the most convenient answers. I think the quintessential piece of this movie that just kind of tells you everything you need to know about how they solve problems in this movie is when they get the Kong hand. And it just so happens that it was down here, the prototype, ready to go on the spot, mm-hmm. just for this absolute instance. And you're like, okay, is this how we're going to solve problems in this movie? Is we're just going to, well, just so happens, I happen to know the one thing we needed to know right now. I read this script. I know weirdly everything.
Yep. A prototype the government cut funding for.
Yeah.
Right after they finished it and moved it to where it needed to
be. It just feels like that meme where there's like a hole in that big glass tank and then somebody slaps the super sticky duct tape to cover the hole.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like the easiest fix possible.
Yep.
movie felt like.
And thankfully the fancy airplane carrier was down there too.
Yeah, this is a
hadn't been destroyed.
This is a Flex Seal of a movie.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Flex Seal of Godzilla a movie. X Kong Flex Seal.
Flex Seal. Yeah. Godzilla Flex Kong.
Yeah.
All right. We also got to know about the new world of Earth after Godzilla's arrival, which is mostly just when he feels like it and there's a bug attacking us, he comes and he ruins the city.
Yeah.
We deal with that now. That's just part of our world.
I feel like they made in from what I've watched of Monarch and the other movies, they make this big, big deal about G-Day. The first time Godzilla's... But now it's like G-Day is like Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Whenever he wakes up from his cat.
Yeah. In the
Coliseum.
Thank you.
I do like that allegedly was based off of...
his kitty.
His cat, like the director's cat sleeping in the cat bed, and that's what he... Like the image that he wanted. And I think that's adorable.
That is adorable.
I like that part.
That was an adorable moment when he lays down in the, you know...
Yeah.
Can we also just talk about how everyone seems to be able to get on this trip down to Hollow Earth so easily? It's like, pretty please is the little girl, and she gets on the trip. And then David Henry Tyree is like, pretty please. And they're like, ah, fucking get on the trip. And
well,
like, is this a top secret mission trip? Or like, well, what's happening here?
No, because they're going to be there and back by nightfall.
Yeah.
It's a quick one.
It's a quick.
We're just popping down.
Popping down to see what that frequency we've never heard before.
Even though our radios are all dead.
Yeah, but my daughter.
In and out.
My daughter can hear
she can
it in
hear
her
it,
brain.
Yeah. And she draws three spikes.
That just represent everything you
don't
need to
know what
know
that means.
About
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
About her understanding of it, at least. You know, I don't know how this telepathy thing works
either. Neither do I.
You know what I mean? They make this big point. I feel like maybe they were just like, the studios were like, look, we got a lot of people. We can't let all of them talk. We'll have to pay them too much. Okay, this whole group is
extras.
Telepathic. So now we can just be featured extras for all of these people. You know what I mean? Like, you're just a featured extra. You don't have any lines.
Oh,
we don't have to give out any more SAG contracts. You got it.
I got cast as the leader of the Iwis in the Hollow Earth. My God, that's amazing. What are you doing in it? I just stand there.
And nod.
And nod a lot.
Like,
I'm actually not getting
things.
Paid very well. Oh, this is a problem.
Makeup's 5 hours, though, so that's nice. Yeah. I mean, this whole... I mean, the story is just bonkers. None of it really makes sense. They don't let us understand this world at all.
Story
really.
Was not the focal there's point
like
of
this
a, film.
There's like a hollow earth, and then there's a hollow earth. There's like a subterranean hollow earth.
Unexplored
like, how many earths can we get to, and how many of them have blue skies?
Also, yeah. Like, where's the light coming from? There's land above you and land below you.
Yeah.
I don't.
Did we miss that in the beginning? Because I feel like I read somewhere that they like Elon Musk had like some complaints about Godzilla vs. Kong and like where the light or the things.
No, Elon Musk had complaints.
It's the same. It's the same in Godzilla vs. Kong. You would have the same questions of that movie for sure.
I thought maybe it was those giant.
But I feel
giant...
like the director said that he answered it in the beginning of this movie.
No, he didn't. Unless the suggestion is, I mean, is Hollow Earth not actually inside Earth, but rather, because you have to go through some weird portal. So is it actually just like an alternate universe that still has an unexplained sun?
Yeah, like yeah. Well, the way they draw
was
it up.
Day and night
the
there?
Way they draw it up is it's inside the Earth. Like they're like, here's Earth. It's inside. You go through a portal to get there. And then gravity's upside down.
But the portal aspect is where I'm kind of like,
and the sun sets all the time.
I don't understand that world at all. Like you go through a portal, which takes, I feel, a longer amount of time than it would to just drop down into the middle of the earth. Like
I don't know. I mean, I think
I saw the core. I know how it works.
Okay, but also like in the beginning when they're going on the plane in the portal, it like you're saying, it seemed like a kind of a long
there's like a whole thing,
journey. But then when they're jumping between the portals at the end, it's like I'm up here by the pyramids and suddenly I'm like there's no it seems like they're just stepping between the two.
Yeah, Kong
very
and
quickly.
Zilla every time they go through the portal just kind of drop through, seemingly unfazed. And
or climb out.
And then the humans in their ship are just like getting wacky faced, like a weird mushroom trip as they go through the portal. And I don't know why that is.
No,
and they don't really explain any of it.
Well, in Monarch, there is something about Hollow Earth where like time passes differently there. Because spoilers, but there's a character in there that like gets trapped in Hollow Earth for like 50 years or something and she doesn't age.
Mm.
So there's something.
Kong aged. He got grayer in the beard.
He did. He's been fighting.
Ah,
stress.
Stress grays.
Yeah.
Just loneliness grays, really.
But both, really.
Yeah. And it hasn't even been that long for him.
It hasn't.
It's not like the girl grew up a lot.
Couldn't he just come back up to the surface whenever he wants?
Yeah. But he wouldn't because Godzilla would attack him.
Oh, right. That's right.
Godzilla doesn't like him on his turf.
That's but right.
Hollow Earth's his turf.
Pain. That brings
tooth
him up.
Pain brings him.
Yeah. The whole tooth angle, silly.
That was just...
So this is a one story. We all know that, right? Yeah. Right. Just, I'll let you guys move on.
Okay.
No, it's a one story. It doesn't make any sense. But it's one of those movies that if you're not really thinking, it's enjoyable. You know? I don't like this movie. I agree with you on that, Will. But there's it's something about this. It's just like kind of wacky in a way that... You know, keeps you entertained. It's a classic blockbuster in that sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We talked about this before we started recording. This movie is very, very toyetic.
Yeah.
Well, can I say one other thing? I don't understand how the crystal controls the Shimu ice.
And then explodes and...
And he's good. He's free. But we don't know why. They never explain anything like that.
It's huge.
Yeah.
One crystal.
Well, it had a lot of power.
Apparently.
It had the power to hold that Shimu beast.
I guess so.
But we don't know how it was made or how
Scar
got
it. Well,
that Shimu
beast is also the reason for the first Ice Age.
don't
forget that.
That actually I learned in textbooks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's been known, dude. Don't be silly.
Of course.
I felt like the relationship between Trapper and Rebecca underdeveloped.
Oh, yeah.
Just
there
like
was
a lot of like
there.
Quick nods of like history of like we went
Remember
to college
we
and we used to fuck and then, you know... Now we're just buds, but we're not buds. We love each other, but we're not.
Yeah.
And then, like, the little girl hugs him at the end.
Yeah.
It just, there's a lot of things that,
that
make
sense.
Yeah. Story, 0.5?
Oof.
Like,
I like that.
Was there a story?
I like that, yeah.
Or was this just a clusterfuck of just like, how do we get big things to fight big things? And we have to have people explain things. So we'll have a lot of just exposition scenes. A lot of like, oh, this text is written in ancient Iwi. Luckily, I can read it perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and it tells the exact thing that's just happened, which right. is little girl shows up from the gotta be from Skull Island. Gotta be. Yeah.
Oh my God. When that happened,
you're like, Jesus.
Did I laugh super loud when that line got delivered?
Might have.
I think that was the one where I was just like, this is ridiculous. Yeah,
this is how we're ridiculous. Solving problems in yeah. this movie. This is terrible.
Yeah, no, this movie didn't. When they wrote the script, I think the script was really just a placeholder for special effects. And the lines were like, you know, do what you want with them. I could be wrong about this, but they did not care. And I don't think that was the purpose of the film, would to have a plot, which sounds silly.
No, it's ridiculous. Yeah. This whole movie is ridiculous. 0.5.
One.
I said one.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah. Went low.
What? You did go low. That makes sense to me.
Let's talk about the acting. Can we talk about the acting, guys, in this movie? I'm going to go with one.
Like, one for acting?
Yeah, I don't think anybody really. They all had fun, I think. I think everybody was having a good time. I don't think anybody built a character, or you could argue Rebecca Hall made some efforts, but to what end, you know? Like, what was the purpose of any character building in this movie? I didn't need it. Just give me the giant Godzilla guy fighting the giant King Kong, you know? I just don't think that character development was part of this movie. It's where we go together, where you go, I go, or shut the fuck up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Here's a question.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Did you believe Rebecca Hall and the little girl and their relationship more than you did with Denzel's kid and the little girl in The Creator? Because you really didn't buy that mm-hmm. relationship yeah, all
right.
at all.
In The Creator, it wasn't earned. By the end, it wasn't earned, I didn't feel. I feel like there was stuff missing that, you know, if we had gotten that 4-hour cut, it might have been earned in The Creator. In this one, not really. No. Not, I mean, it didn't feel that. It just felt like lines that were being said while crying, as opposed to like actual emotive acting. That's a term.
Is this acting. Just because you hate children?
There's that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And women. So
that's no, I don't hate women. Wait, no, no.
It was not made for
no.
you.
No, no, no.
You also hate the Baby Kong.
I was not a big fan of Baby Kong. He was kind of an asshole.
Well, he's also a child actor.
Probably.
CGI.
Yeah, CGI child actor. That's what CGI stands for. Child guy did. No, okay. Yeah.
You got nothing. Acting for me is a 2.5.
Really?
Yeah, they came and did their job.
Legitimately,
they just came and did their job. I think Rebecca Hall is a wonderful actress. I like her in most things that she's in. I think she has an easy kind of expressive ability in her acting that I felt like, at least for how little lines she was given and stuff to do, she got me to understand. Her biggest fear was this little girl leaving her to be with her people / not being able to connect with her daughter. And those were the kind of, that's your big thing. Now, the little girl I thought also did a pretty good job. I don't think she was amazing, but like fine. A little too much waving. You know what I mean? Like Kong, like, I'm over here. And you're like, he sees you, dude. He sees you. But yeah, and then you got Dan Stevens. Dan Stevens is having a good time, having fun. If you're talking character development, I think that's story driven. And, you know, I think mm-hmm. that's where, you know, a director might come in and be like, hey, these are the moments we really want to hit with you guys. But like, there's no story that you can have an actor really glom onto. This is all, you're here to give exposition. I mean, Rebecca Hall is just the exposition queen in this. You know, David Tyree Henry. Brian Tyree Henry. He fills the kind of the audience perspective role of like, whoa, this is wacky, but he's not consistent enough with that. That like, he also has to do some lifting in exposition. He's got a lot to do, and he's got a lot of buttons to do it with. So that's nice on his jacket.
A lot of them.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, you got a kind of a core four in this thing. And I thought all of them did their job. They came, they showed up, you know, they got us from A to B. They tried to make fun out of whatever there was to make fun out of. And, you know, we got out of there with a couple chuckles and got us back to Kong and Zilla. Because let's be honest, Kong and Zilla smashing each other is actually pretty fucking boring. So I need those actors to bring something. And I felt like they did their job.
I agree. It's a 2.5 for me. I think that given what we were working with the script... they all did fine. There wasn't many actors in this. We've already said that. I don't think that anybody, the few that were in there, came and sold whatever they could from the script. I mean, I don't think if, like, Dan Stevens, if they had not been in it, this movie would have not been, it would have been entirely unremarkable to me. I think that them just coming, doing what they could with it, putting some humor in there. I liked Trapper, even though I was like, this is stupid. I know that this is just like, you know, an homage to 80s action.
Yeah.
Like Kurt Russell. Like, I see what is happening here.
Yeah.
But it still worked for me. I like him. I think he does well. I thought they all did fine. You know, there's not a performance in there that I was like taken back being like, oh, that's just annoying. They all just did their job.
Yeah,
I agree. No, I don't think any of them really did anything too, like...
There's nothing outstanding.
Outstanding. They just, you know...
Just showed up and were solid.
Didn't disappoint.
Right. At no point was I let down by the acting. And I feel like a one says you were let down by the acting. Like, the acting let you
and
down.
Granted,
like you
were this
like,
movie
oh, these
is
people didn't sell
mostly
it for
from the perspective of all the monsters. Like, it's not... It leans more heavily on that side.
And the monkey acting isn't very good. So maybe I could bring it down just for the monkey acting.
Well, I'll come up to it too.
Nice.
Come up to it too.
Nice.
The monkey acting though is rough.
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 Especially the kid monkey.
Yeah.
I like the kid monkey.
Yeah.
I wanted more from him.
Oh. You would like the kid monkey.
Of course I would.
Best thing that kid monkey did was get used as an axe or a hammer or a bat, whatever. Weapon.
We'll get to that in action.
Directing. Nora, why don't you kick us off with directing?
Directing. I like this director. I've already forgotten his name.
Adam Wingard?
Yes. But mostly just because I know him from Your Next and The Guest, which are two of my favorite, like, in the horror genre. I love those movies. I think if you want to see Dan Stevens, like, give a fucking awesome acting performance, go watch The Guest. But I don't know. I'll probably give this a 2, maybe. From what I've read, it seemed like he really was trying to, like, incorporate, like, because there was going to be so much CGI, like, trying to get in there with the actors to, like, get the cues and all the things right to have them. But ultimately, this movie fails because all they're doing, it's, like, so many long looks. Like, we're just getting camera pans of all of the, like, monkeys and Godzilla, and everybody's just looking off into the distance constantly in this movie. And, you know, I think without having, like, a decent enough story, it's just, this is just, like, one big cum fest for monsters fighting each other. And that's not even, in my opinion, done super well. It was, like Will said, kind of boring watching. There's parts of, like, anyways, that's action. Not my point. Yeah, I don't know. I'll go... Two, I think that this director excels in the horror genre more than he does in whatever this is.
Monsterverse.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could kind of consider this a subgenre of horror. I don't know. But I think he does better in those types of stories. And I didn't really feel... I mean, he must have done something right because I, you know, my gut score is going to be decent. But... ultimately, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it was a miss.
I think I go with a 2.5 because I did have fun with this movie. While it suffers from many an issue, the fact that I still like had a good time, I mean, that says something, and I think that maybe he had a good time directing this movie, and that comes through a little bit, but... It's like, where do I put, if I had a good time, where does that go? I don't think the acting was all that great. I think the story was garbage. So I feel like his ability to take a garbage story and all of that and still kind of mush together this understanding of what this movie is, which is just kind of a you know, fun B monster movie with an A-level budget, and they did that, and I had fun, so.
I also read somewhere, I think, that this was, like, the lowest budget of anything from this franchise.
Really?
I could be wrong.
No, yeah, yeah, I read that.
Oh, okay, well. I mean,
not that it was a low budget.
No, but like, comparatively yeah. to okay. all the other ones.
I think also,
like, I mean, I'll be curious to hear what Will says, since you're the only one who recently watched the other one he directed in the franchise, because he's the only director to come back for a second.
Hmm.
Yeah, he wanted to come back. Yeah. He came back of his own volition because he felt like the first movie he was just getting a feel for how to direct, you know, all this kind of CGI action stuff and how to make eye lines work and do all that kind of stuff. And he felt like this would be his way to kind of like take that knowledge and like push forward and be better at it this time, which is, you know, questionable. Directing for me... I this one's really hard to rate for directing, in my opinion, because the story's so bad. But I think when you have a trash story, what the director's job is to do is to be a magician and use sleight of hand to make you not realize how bad this story is by giving you action or comedy, right? You know, he uses those as sleight of hand to be like, look over here. I'm just walking through this story, but be funny. It's okay. So, like, in that sense... we all had a good time. So in that sense, he kind of did his job to that degree of like, well, you know, this story's trash, but I've given you enough over here so you can enjoy yourself while we walk through this seemingly incomprehensible story without any questions answered. I also think that he doesn't do a very good job with, you know, there's an artistry to these types of movies in how you... frame exposition, how you kind of put that, and some of that's on the writers as well. So again, that's where it's hard for me. Where does he start and they begin? I thought the sets looked good. The practical sets that he used looked cool and good. It had some little Easter eggs, like the apartment had a bunch of little Easter eggs in it, which were fun from the last movies and the movies before. So some of that stuff was cool. But yeah, I mean... it's just, yeah, it's a two. It's like a two directing for me. You know, like he couldn't hide the blemishes well enough. And I feel like either he needs to step in and say, hey, we need to clean this up and figure this out because I can't hide all of these. It's just too much. Or he's just a little bit of a moron and didn't realize how ludicrous this story was. And I want to say he's not a moron because I, you know, like he's got to where he is and you've seen movies that you like of his. So he does this job. He knows his business. But this one stunk in that sense.
Jumping up from the movies that Nora likes that he's done to this. I mean, they're two completely different animals.
Wildly different.
Yeah. And I think you see a lot of these guys do that jump from the indie film or the low budget horror film or whatever into, all right, here's $100 million and 8 actors and a bunch of tennis balls, go. You know, I mean, I know that's not what this literally is, but
but a lot of it is that. Like, yeah. He literally was on the sidelines, like, especially with the little girl who, is deaf.
Using
flashlights, using things to try to, like, get the eye lines and do that. And, like, I think Rebecca Hall has, like, been interviewed saying that it's challenging. It's funny to try to like be in that like CGI, like you're filming, the director might be the one standing in for Kong and you have to like keep a straight face and sell these lines. And then like, as soon as the cut's over, you're dying of laughter because you're just, you know, acting like a tennis ball.
I think there are a few directors who know how to do this. Roland Emmerich might be a good example of somebody who's been doing the massive CGI exploding city thing for years. So it's kind of second nature to him to understand like how to get eyelines right, how to really, you know, whether or not his movies are good is up to us. At least he gets that kind of feel down.
I don't think the eyeline was the problem in this movie.
No, what I'm saying is as a director, there are so many pieces. If you're new to this, that's just one of the there are so many things, so many balls in the air that you have to keep up, as opposed to when you're just dealing with actors in a set. Now you have to deal with, like, okay, we have to remember that, like, there's a building exploding behind you while Godzilla's over here and that's on fire. We have none of those things here. That's all CGI, but you've got to be on that. And so as a director, you're trying to, like, okay, I got to watch the performance. I got to make sure that this lines up. I got to make sure that that lines up, you know, and
maybe,
and so,
I'm not thinking about story.
Definitely not thinking about story. That's why no one's thinking about it. And he's just like, improvise. Like, go. You know, I don't know. But he did make us have some fun.
Yeah.
Oh, did either of you watch the other Godzilla Minus One?
Yeah, I did.
So I have not seen that yet.
Please do.
I've heard it's very good.
It's very good.
What?
Actually, I'm really sad I didn't see it at the theater when I had the opportunity. You told me to go, and
I heard nothing but good things. And
it was fantastic in theater.
As we are about to go into action, you guys have both said that the monster fights were a bit boring.
Yeah.
I imagine in Godzilla Minus One, not the case.
They treat it more like a monster movie. They're building tension. They're not there for wow, bang,
right.
Pow,
so I was gonna say, what
slap,
is
Jim? You know, not
the
go,
difference.
By the time you've thrown Kong through six buildings, like, I'm good. I don't need to see Kong go through another build. You know what I mean? Like, at some point, you have to make me feel like there's some sort of stakes to this whole game. And when you don't have any actors who we give about or are in peril, you know, like the 2014 and 2019 movie did this better. I'm not going to, you know, laud them for their beautiful ideas, but the idea that, like, when you have Kong, who, you know, this guy's not dying, Godzilla's not dying, you got a scar monkey that you're like, yeah, you're kind of okay. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those. And then you just have a bunch of rando screaming people, and half of that just gets in the last scene is not there. You just don't feel the stakes of that fight anymore. And when you have one of your main characters be like, "Tell Rome the next time it'll just be leveled if he doesn't show up," you're like, you've told us not to care about the humans on the ground,
right?
You know what I mean?
But then to your point of that is, like, the whole movie is supposed to be about Kong protecting humanity. So we're watching a fight scene where, like, clearly nobody
cares.
Gives a shit. And, like, this is just the new reality of, like, okay.
Yeah, Kong's an alpha protecting his alpha status, not protecting, you know what I mean, like, humanity. He can't even be up with the humans.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what Godzilla's doing now.
Yeah, Godzilla's protecting the Earth, doesn't sort really of. Care about her humans either. I don't know. Like, to me, the stakes in these movies is what makes it boring. Yeah, do I see a big, you know, like, in theater, you get that kind of, like, colossal, like, things blowing, you know, the whip around the building, smashing him with, you know. But again, I've seen it all.
Yeah.
It wasn't a terribly creative version of that. You didn't build tension. You didn't give me characters that I was worried might get hurt or die. You know what I mean? In the 2019, you got Ken Watanabe just, like, rolling up and sacrificing himself in order to, like, save Godzilla because he knows Godzilla is the only one who can save Earth, right? You know what I mean? Like, you've built these characters up. You've given us a reason to care about something in this movie that makes this fight have stakes, right? In the 2014, all your main characters are on the ground in San Francisco and the shit is going down and you're seeing them have to, like, deal with what is happening above them, right? Mm-hmm. So this movie doesn't have really any of that.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like a cartoon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And not a well-written cartoon.
Yeah.
That's my issue with the action in this. Not that they didn't do huge, big set piece action is lack of stakes.
And it wasn't that it looked bad either. Like, I mean, it's fine CGI.
Right.
It's just that, like, it's just forgettable.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not giving me anything I haven't seen, and you're not doing anything interesting.
Yeah.
I thought
the Kong versus Godzilla one was more fun because they got to destroy that alien with the robot, right? Like, mm-hmm. they're like, and the robot has this, like, oil squeaking blood kind of stuff, and you're like, oh, this is kind of fun. You know what I mean? There's a fun aspect to this. And the humans are trying to get in and help. But in this one, it's just kind of like,
I think also, like, considering that the story is mostly, like, exposition to explain these things and get to these big fight scenes, I don't think they did a good job of, like, really making us care about the Scar King either. Like, he's supposed to be the big bad anti-Kong. Yeah. And it just kind of felt like we got in there, we see him, we kind of hear some backstory that he, you know, used to fight Godzilla.
Yeah.
This is where the rivalry starts. Now he's unleashed and he's trying to get to Earth. It just all felt very rushed. So then when you get to the end too, you're just kind of like, I would have liked him to be a little bit more menacing or get a little bit more of that.
Let him destroy a city or something.
Yeah. You know? To create stakes or do something of that nature. Yeah. I mean, like maybe if he actually did make it up there and started like wreaking havoc. I'm going to try this again. If he had gotten up there and started wreaking havoc. No, I don't sound. It doesn't sound confident.
Here's the part of what you're about to say, which I think they didn't set up for. And that is that, okay, he gets through the porthole and he wreaks havoc. What else is new? You know what I mean? Like, there's monsters up there wreaking havoc all the time anyway. Like, what's the difference? He's got Shimu the Emu.
Well, they got
Charmander or whatever.
He's freezing
that
the sky.
Called.
You know, look out for that.
Yeah, look out for him having the crystal thing that controls the little dino bot.
You also have like supercharged Godzilla, and it's like, well, what's the difference between regular Godzilla?
Yeah.
He just shoots a different color.
It's just, yeah, it's a more
or
intense beam.
Godzilla,
I think it's.
We don't know.
It's a more intense beam. He's, yeah. Okay. He's king of the monsters. Mon Mothra is queen of the monsters.
Right.
So
we assume gender
through that.
We do.
But we do. Either way. And again, like Godzilla, what has he got? Like 3 minutes of screen time in this whole thing? Eight?
Ten.
Seven?
Seven? Seven, eight, maybe?
He sleeps. He walks.
I think it's the least amount of screen time in the franchise.
Yeah, it's like one of the least. Like, I think I was reading something about like in the 14 and 19, he only has like 10 minutes or 11 minutes. And in this one, he's only got like 8 minutes of actual
screen time. Most of the time, you don't give him a lot of screen time, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you got the fights, right?
You got the fights. Or you're building the tension.
You're building the tension.
We weren't doing building tension.
We weren't doing that. We didn't decide that path. So, I don't know. This movie just kind of like the action is... I'll give it a 2 for being big, but that's all it was.
Mm. Okay.
Well, I'd probably go, I don't know, I'll go 2.5 just because this, if they were going to sacrifice on story and give us, the action's there, if that's what you're into. It's just the kind of action that, like, to me feels very, like, Transformers-esque, and I don't care about that. Like, it doesn't draw me in a way that's going to be like, oh, this is fascinating to see, or, like, that's a really cool, like, angle or shot. Like, you brought it up, using the spine whip to throw the building, I think, was the most memorable part of any of the action for me.
We got that in the previews.
You know, and I didn't watch any of the previews because I really was fingers crossed we weren't going to do this movie.
Crisscross applesauce. Sorry, bud.
Failed again. Yeah. There's definitely going to be people out there that this is their kind of brand of action. And they were like, yeah, fuck yeah. Collabs for days.
Yeah.
I'm not that person.
Huh. Ian?
I'm going to agree with Nora, 2.5. It came and it did its job. It had, which was, again, I walked out of this not having had a bad time. It was silly. It was dumb. It didn't really bring a lot new, but at least it sort of kept going. And it was sort of amusing thinking about just the insane amount of collateral damage. And like, why do we even bother? Like, just let him destroy things. Like, we're not saving anything. Like, when Godzilla fights in Rome, like, the humans don't do anything to help. It's like, okay, so if we'd have just done nothing, the exact same thing would have happened.
I just like, yeah, in my head, what's the point of living if you're living in a world where at any point in time, a monster's just going to pop up out of a portal and like you and everything in a 5 mile radius is going to be dead.
Yeah.
I think this is a PSA for living off the grid.
Maybe.
Certainly out
it's
of major metropolises,
grid,
yeah.
For sure.
But if you live in, you know, well, it's a major metropolis. But at one point, doesn't Godzilla just, like, run through, like, the middle of a country?
Yeah,
like,
no,
away
no.
from
for
the
sure.
ocean?
For sure, yeah. I mean,
you're not safe anywhere.
You're not safe anywhere, yeah. Yes. I think we should see the next Godzilla film or the next Godzilla Kong collab.
Just really don't live anywhere near a nuclear plant.
That's a good idea.
You know what I mean? Because he's definitely going for those.
Could we get like a...
That's how he charges up.
a lower budget, like small drama about people dealing with this existential crisis of like, there's nowhere on Earth anymore that you can go necessarily to be safe because we've got monsters coming up from Hollow Earth.
I'm just saying,
aliens
like,
coming down. Let's
see. Car crash statistics are worse than Godzilla statistics.
Well, not in their world.
Yeah, in their world.
Says who? Which movie?
Says all of them.
They didn't say that in this one, did they?
Yeah. They literally say it in this one.
I feel like Monarch the Show...
I'm kidding.
Yeah, I thought so.
I feel like Monarch the Show does a decent job of portraying the PTSD that came from G-Day.
I have enjoyed that, yeah.
I think that, like, taking, like, going into a lot of, like, flashbacks and how it like, affected the specific characters. Yes, there's this whole, like, tie-in backstory of the children of
right.
one of the scientists who came from, you know. Yeah. That all is there and connects them specifically to Marnock, but I think that the portrait of how much that terror caused these characters in real time, like, I thought was done a lot better.
Yeah. So having watched what I've seen on Monarch, and they do deal with the G-Day stuff and the psychological implications of that, then when you watch a movie like this, it just completely erases that yeah. entire emotional aspect of it, because you have, you know, like Will mentioned with the, you know, say that find a new scapegoat for Rome, you know, and we don't care that he's saving people, but he's not. There's no shits given by anybody. There's no evacuations. There's no, like, evacuation alarms.
They should have learned by this point.
Right. In Monarch, you see that.
Yeah.
They have that, but I feel like it was not at any yeah. point touched on in this movie.
Yes.
Which, even just a scene of, oh, here comes Godzilla towards Rome, the alarms are going off, everybody get down. And whether or not they do, I don't think is the point, but just showing us that besides Monarch, the rest of the world does have a response to this, be it, you know, even if it's just hide. But I didn't see that. It was just like, well, here comes Godzilla. Now a bunch of people are going to die. And then they died.
I don't have an opinion on that.
That's okay.
But I will say this. They're able to knock Godzilla out. Sedate him, correct? They do it several times.
Kong.
Kong, that's what I mean.
Yeah, Kong.
Kong, knock him out.
Yeah.
How do they do that?
They inject him with something.
Why can't we just do that to Scar King?
Well, I think he has to be sitting still to do it, maybe.
I'm just saying, like, if you can get through his hide with a needle of some sort.
Yeah, shoot him with it.
You can launch that into him.
True.
Inject him with that stuff. And then once he's out, Kong can beat him to death.
True.
I mean, beating people to death when they're asleep is way easier. That's all I'm saying.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying. Sedated guy, way easier to beat up.
Spoken from experience.
Psychopath.
It's like fighting drunk people. You know what I mean? Way easier to win when you're sober and they're drunk. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough.
Anyway, that's off topic.
Let's talk gut. Who wants to talk
gut? This is a classic, you know, sum of parts is greater than parts themselves.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Gut for me, I went, gut's a 2.5 for me.
Yeah.
I had a good time. It didn't blow me away, but I had some fun chuckles. 2.5 gut.
I am in agreement. 2.5. I had fun. Would I recommend this to anybody? No. If it came on, you know, on an afternoon, would I watch it? Parts of it. But yeah, it was fine. I'll forget about it. And then I'll watch it again down the line and be like, oh yeah, it's a fucking movie. And then I'll forget about it again and watch. So I'll probably watch this movie like 3 times throughout my life, forgetting it each time. And then
yeah,
finding a little joy each time.
I mean, when I went back and watched Kong versus Godzilla, I remembered almost none of that movie.
Yeah, I don't remember any of it. I didn't remember that Brian Tyree Henry was in the first one.
Oh, I remember that much.
So yeah, so 2.5. This movie, it did what it was, what it is doing is what it's supposed to do. It's made its money. Like, it's made a fuck ton of money, I think.
It's a huge opening weekend.
Yeah, it beat out Dune already. Like,
it's insane.
So it's done its job, which is give me big and shiny, and when my children are 13, this is the type of movie I'm going to want to go to with them. Because it's big and dumb and fun, and we have a good time. And that's all it is. It's a blockbuster. It's a good, fun, dumb blockbuster.
Yeah.
So well done.
We should have a dumb category.
We should have a dumb category.
Like, entertaining dumb or not entertaining dumb.
Yeah.
Because there are movies that are dumb that are not entertaining, and there are movies that are dumb that you're like, phew, that one's the right kind of dumb.
I feel like we got 2 weeks of right kind of dumb.
Yeah. Nora, gut?
2.5, I guess. I was expecting to hate this movie, so I guess I was somewhat pleasantly surprised that I laughed more than once.
Yeah.
Let's talk totals. I'm sure everybody can guess they're going to be wildly high. Pre-gut. Let's see here. Will with a 6.5.
Ooh-wee.
Nora with a 7. Myself with an 8. So that brings us to Will with a 9. Nora with a 9.5. And myself with a 10.5. Sorry.
Ooh-wee.
Did some bad math there. Yeah. So, you know, not
it's not good.
The best movie.
Not good.
Not the best not movie. Not
good. If you're a Stubbs member and you're bored, go see it.
I will say this. If you don't have to pay and you can go see it on the big screen, do it. It's a fun afternoon. Next week we have what hopefully will... This is a movie we're actually all looking forward to.
Super stoked about next week.
Yeah.
I too am excited.
Monkey Man. Dev Patel.
Directed and stars.
Yeah, did he write it too?
I don't know.
He does a lot in this one. Probably produced it.
Probably.
You know? I think it's a passion project. I think and it might be. We all know how I feel about passion projects. Yeah, yeah.
Passionately?
Passionately. Yeah. I love to admire someone else's work ethic and commitment.
If you want to listen to our Tombstone episode where
I talk
where
for drunk 45 Nora, minutes
about where drunk Nora really gets on her high horse about the passion of Kurt Russell in this movie and how dare somebody try and fuck with that.
Don't fuck with it.
Y'all love that.
Monkey Man. Super stoked.
And you know Dev's gonna bring his A game.
Yes.
Because that's what he does.
I think this will be a highlight for next week.
He did help write it.
Nice.
Yeah. Passion.
Passion.
You
got that passion.
On IMDb, you know how they give the labels for the movie? Like action, comedy. This is action, thriller.
Passion.
One person army.
Ooh.
That is one person
army is always a good time.
So
I'm always down for that.
Yeah. I am very much so looking forward to this. So
that should be a new category. One person army. I mean, it is obviously.
Apparently it is.
But yeah, but I like that as a category because that really tells you what this movie is.
It does.
It's like one person army. Okay, we're talking The Raid. We're talking John things Wick. Like that. John Wick.
Roadhouse apparently is considered a one person army.
Roadhouse though? Because like
the original. One. Original. Yeah. I know. I don't
know.
No.
The new
Bullet
one
Train,
is.
Equalizer 2.
The Bullet Train, I can see.
Northman,
I can see.
Ugh, I
Shooter. I mean, yeah, I guess.
Forgot about that movie.
The Gray Man.
The Shooter was definitely a one-man army.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Drive. Get the fuck out of here. All right. Stupid. All right. That was this movie. There's a sweet collab in the oven.
Exit on the subterranean Hollow Earth side.
Ooh.
And free them monkeys.
Action Mix with Bill and Ian. Really, the reason I liked the baby monkey so much was I felt like I saw myself in that baby monkey.
Mm.
It like immediately walks up and bites.
Yeah.
Just getting up to no good. It's like sneaking around.
Yeah.
That's how I like to pretend I am.
Yeah.
Biting is a big thing for
I've
me.
I've often considered using you as a weapon.
You can.
Yeah. Like okay. That is a highlight.
That was fantastic.
That is your action highlight in this is Kong taking baby monkey and beating other monkeys with baby monkey before he even knows baby monkey. And he's like, nah, you bit me. Now I get to use you to beat other monkeys.
No,
I was like, if baby monkey had died right there, I would have been like, oh yeah, this movie's lit up.
That's five gut right there.
I would have sold my soul to watch that happen.
Yeah.
I was very nervous. They were going to
kill baby monkey. Yeah. I was like, oh, please. Kill this
I was on board
monkey.
With baby monkey.
Yeah. Just kill him.
We need an emotional death. There were none of those except for the one guy who gets eaten by a tree.
It would have just set a tone that was like, nah, we ain't fucking around.
Yeah.